music from KIXI, dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
11 o'clock.
CBS News. In just a few hours, British voters go to the polls to choose a new government. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The British election comes in the midst of serious inflation and the worst economic crisis in that country since World War II. The latest polls give a very thin edge to Prime Minister Edward Heath's Conservatives, but there are predictions that the Liberal Party, for many years a weak force in British politics, will make big gains. Still, the polls say the Conservatives will come out on top with the Labourites behind them by 2 to 5%. Prime Minister Heath is telling voters a Labour victory would produce complete chaos in Britain. The Labourites' Harold Wilson is asking the people to dump the Tories, pledging to take action to end the national coal strike. More news after this message.
We've got to pitch in to clean up America. And if everybody keeps pitching in, we can call on America. America the beautiful, once again.
Oh, yeah.
How can you pitch in? Write United States Brewers Association, P.O. Box 2570, Washington, D.C., 20013. Let's all pitch in.
A variety of assistance is available to the blind. Rehabilitation and library services can be had in every part of the nation. Cash payments for the needy and training in skills and techniques. You can help. For information, contact your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind or write me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309.
A strike by coal miners in West Virginia is spreading. The miners are angry because they're having trouble getting gasoline to go to work. Jed Duvall has a report from North Fork, West Virginia.
One owner estimating it's 15,000 now and still spreading, spilling over into Kentucky and Virginia. The problem is not coal, but gasoline. And only a relatively small number of miners can't get fuel for their cars to drive to work. But it only takes a minority to shut things down. One picket makes a picket line, and thousands of miners without a gasoline gripe are respecting the lines. The governor of West Virginia did what federal energy people recommended and ordered that no one with more than a quarter tank of gas be served. But many miners need a full tank or nearly that just to make one round trip to work. Hence a growing shutdown and, following the truckers and the gasoline retailers, another pressure group with leverage of its own, making its voice heard. Jed Duvall, CBS News, North Fork, West Virginia.
President Nixon is expected to veto the emergency energy bill, which won congressional approval Wednesday. The president is opposed to one key provision, a rollback of crude oil prices. That would reduce the price of gasoline to the motorist by up to 4 cents a gallon. Supporters of the bill think they have a chance to override the presidential veto. Senator Henry Jackson, Democrat of Washington, says he's confident the Senate would override. Now that Israel and Syria have agreed to hold talks, the details are being worked out. Bruno Wassertile has a report from Jerusalem.
No one yet knows where and how the negotiating process between Israel and Syria will be held after Secretary Kissinger leaves the area this weekend. The first step in the negotiations will take place Friday when Kissinger brings Israel's ideas on disengagement to Syrian leaders in Damascus. It's been rumored that a spot near the Quneitra-Damascus Road may be chosen for the bargaining, a place roughly equivalent to kilometer 101 on the Cairo-Suez Road, where parts of the Egyptian-Israeli disengagement accord were thrashed out. There's also talk of military negotiating teams convening in Geneva, but Israel is set to favor a venue closer to the scene and less accessible to the glare of publicity. In any case, an American official traveling with Kissinger indicated that the talks would probably remain in the embryonic stage for the first couple of weeks. It's felt here that once things really get going, Kissinger will be back to clinch the deal. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Jerusalem.
A small business jet with nine persons aboard went down Wednesday night in Canada's Northwest Territories. A search is underway about 750 miles north of Montreal. Now this.
Take the time to listen. Take the time to care. If I know you understand me, then my mind is yours to share. Listen.
time to listen. Too busy forming replies.
But, Rain, what he's saying is important.
Listen here. Who's running this show? If we listen to everything that guy says, we might not have an answer for him.
But, Rain!
Sign off here. Mouth, stand by.
When you
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Here's an item about a poor creature that just couldn't do anything right. In Houston, a watchdog just sat and watched as a burglar made his getaway from a lady's home. To make matters worse, when a policeman came to the home to take the woman's report, the dog bit the officer. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, Seattle. The weather forecast for Seattle, Tacoma, Everett, and vicinity, high wind warnings later tonight and tomorrow, winds increasing and becoming southerly from 25 to 40 miles per hour later tonight and tomorrow. Rain tonight becoming showers by tomorrow afternoon. Occasional showers tomorrow night and Friday. Low tonight near 40 and tomorrow night in the upper 30s, highs both days in the upper 40s. Presently 44 degrees downtown, 43 at SeaTac and raining. Relative humidity 77%. Barometer 29.40. And falling.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sound of suspense, to the fear you can hear. A psychiatrist once said that the human brain is like a spider's web. Together, all the strands are strong, but taken one by one, each can easily be broken and the web destroyed. There are countless cases of human brains broken and smashed in just this way, step by step, strand by strand. And I can't help wondering, is this what happened to young Jennifer Brady?
Please, officer, I'm not out of my mind.
I didn't say you were.
No, but everybody else does, and I'm not. I'm not.
I don't mean you're off crazy because you had a bad dream.
It was no dream. It happened. I tell you, it happened.
No, ma'am, it didn't. You see, it couldn't have. A thing like that to happen. Impossible.
Our mystery drama, Honeymoon with Death, was written especially for the Radio Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Lois Nettleton. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
This is Chris Schenkel for the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. You know, you get used to looking at sports one way from up here in the booth, and sometimes we're inclined to overlook the importance of sports from another point of view, and that's from the point of view of kids. You know, a child doesn't have to be a natural athlete or a super performer on the field to be physically fit. Any child, boy or girl, can be in shape. And the best way is through a regular, vigorous program of physical education in our schools. Fitness at an early age, doctors tell us, can have a lot to do with a child's future health as an adult. Fitness can help them become more mentally alert, better achievers, more outgoing, and happier. Yes, so often we overlook the need to educate a child's body as well as his or her mind. So we urge you to support the physical education programs in your schools and to make sure your kids are getting the kind of instruction they need. For more information, write to the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Washington, D.C., zip code 20201.
Maureen Stapleton and Martin Balsam.
What you reading, honey?
A chess book and I'm lost. Listen. White move, rook to king one was a strategical error, permitting black to exchange the queen bishops with the next move.
I can't get into chess. I just learned what it means to flood a zone with receivers, leaving a linebacker one-on-one with a fleet-footed flanker.
Football's violent chess.
Here's something else I'd like you to read. It's a booklet called High Blood Pressure. I picked it up at the Heart Association. And it says, high blood pressure has no constant symptoms, and if it goes undetected and untreated, it can lead to heart attacks, stroke, and kidney problems. Only a doctor can tell if you have it.
Your concern over my health, does that mean that you like me as a person?
I always considered you a wonderful human being, so I made you an appointment for a checkup.
Okay. Queen, the king won.
What's that mean?
Come here and find out, baby.
You and your loved one should find out what your blood pressure is. Have it checked. Another way to protect your loved ones is to give to the Heart Fund. Make heart health your number one cause.
What makes Jennifer Brady think she's going out of her mind? What strange thing happened that couldn't have happened? Perhaps we can find out together.
It was a wonderful honeymoon, Howard. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. Adored it. But you know something? Howard, you know something?
What, Jennifer, what?
It's wonderful to be back home. These last 10 days, driving back from San Francisco, I kept thinking, when, oh, when will I be back in my own bedroom, in my own bed, in my own little old New York brownstone house? Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
What? Said what, Jennifer?
Am I bothering you with all my chatter, Howard?
Bothering me? How could you possibly bother me, sweetheart? I'm just trying to catch up with all that mail Margaret left on the living room table. Oh, hey, I haven't seen that negligee before.
I saved it for a homecoming night. Like? I can see a whole month of honeymooning hasn't changed you a bit.
When I've got a bride as beautiful and sexy as you, our whole life is going to be a honeymoon. Now, tell me, what was it you shouldn't have said?
What? Oh, I've forgotten.
Something about your own little old New York brownstone house.
Oh, well, what I meant, it's not just mine anymore. It's yours now, too.
And your sister Maggie's. You both inherited this old brownstone from your father. Though, I must say, I think that we have the better of the bargain.
What do you mean?
I much prefer this top floor apartment, don't you?
Oh, yes. Luckily, Maggie always preferred the downstairs part. No climbing stairs.
Well, stairs won't bother me. I'll take them 2, 3 at a time, knowing that you're waiting at the top of them.
Oh, darling. Mm-hmm.
Well, you better finish brushing your hair. I'll finish that mail in the living room.
Howard?
Yes?
About the car.
What about it?
You think it's safe parked out in the street?
One night won't hurt.
I'd feel awful if anything happened to it. You know, sometimes on our honeymoon trip, I couldn't help wondering which you loved more, your new car or me. Oh, well, I guess one night in the street is safe enough. You can find a garage tomorrow. Howard? You locked the car. You have the keys, haven't you? Howard? Howard, can't you hear me? I asked you. Howard!
And try to hold on. I'll phone Dr. Sullivan.
Maggie! Howard is dead. He's up there in our apartment. Dead.
Jennifer, please, now try to control yourself. There's no one named Howard here.
What do you mean? No one named Howard? You know Howard Lansing, my husband, the man I've been on a honeymoon with for a whole month and home just a few hours ago, and stop looking at me like that.
All right. All right. Now, look, Jennifer, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll go upstairs, and I'll see if anybody's there.
Howard's there!
All right, all right. If this Howard is there, and if he's dead, then I'll phone the police.
All right? Yes.
But if he isn't, then I'm going to phone Dr. Sullivan, have him come right over. Now, is that agreed?
What's that?
That's just the front door bell, Jennifer. Oh, yes, officer?
Officer Helmets, ma'am. Ed Helmets. Anything wrong?
No, no.
What do you mean, no? My husband's been murdered. He's upstairs dead, a knife in his chest.
Jennifer, please. Officer, there is no one upstairs, dead or alive.
Well, then what was all the screaming about? I'm walking the beat just up at the corner, and I hear all this screaming.
It's nothing. Believe me, it's nothing.
Officer, will you do me a favor?
Oh, sure, if I can.
Would you go upstairs, please, and see for yourself?
Officer, my sister is a highly emotional woman.
Please? Would you please?
Sure. Make you feel any better? Sure.
Oh, Jen. Jen, what am I going to do with you? You know what Dr. Sullivan said.
Dr. Sullivan?
He said if you had another one of these attacks, you were going to have to be...
I am not having an attack. I am as sane as you are. Don't look at me like that, Maggie. I am. Well, officer?
Well, there's nobody up there, ma'am.
Nobody. But there is somebody. My husband, Howard. He's sitting in a chair with a knife in his chest, blood all over.
No, ma'am.
But that's impossible. Impossible, I tell you. It's impossible. Couldn't.
Maybe you want to see for yourself, huh? I'll go up with
Officer,
you.
Officer, thank you very much, but there's no need.
I do want to see for myself, will you?
Sure.
I'll come with you. Well, no, on second thought, what's the use? I mean, I'm really very tired of this sort of thing.
What sort of thing?
Never mind, Officer, just, you go ahead.
Now, is this the room where you, thought that,
I can't believe it. It's impossible.
You can see for yourself.
Five minutes ago, I tell you. In this chair. He was sitting back in this chair, and there was a knife sticking out of his chest. The mail was scattered all over the floor.
Mail?
We'd just come back from our honeymoon. We'd only been in the house a few hours. And Maggie had left all the mail that had collected for a month on the table, on this table.
Well, you can see, ma'am, no mail.
And blood. There was blood on the carpet, some on the mail.
Well, no mail, no blood. You don't mind me saying so. I think you... Well, maybe you had a dream, a nightmare, huh?
Please. I'm not out of my mind.
I didn't say you were.
No, but everybody else does, and I'm not. I'm not.
It don't mean you're off your, out of your mind because you had a bad dream.
It was no dream. It happened. I tell you, it happened. Howard was here in the living room reading the mail. I was talking to him from the bedroom. I had just taken a bath, and I was brushing my hair, and... Wait. I know. I hadn't emptied the tub. The water's still there. It must be. I'll show you. I don't understand it.
Tub's bone dry, ma'am. Hasn't been used. Now, not tonight, anyway.
His clothes. Howard's clothes. He'd empty his suitcases and put his clothes in the closet. His suitcases, too.
Just ladies' clothes. Yours, ma'am?
Yes.
Don't cry. Hey, look, this dream you had.
It was no dream.
Okay, so maybe you imagined...
I didn't imagine anything. Do you imagine a husband? You imagine a month-long honeymoon? You imagine a man in a chair with a knife in his chest?
I got to admit, you'd have to have a darn strong imagination to... But they tell me that's what artists got.
Artists?
Oh, you are an artist, aren't you? That painting there on the easel?
Oh, that's just a hobby. I haven't touched that since I left on my honeymoon.
No?
What do you mean?
How long does it take paint to dry?
Oh, a day, thereabouts.
Well, this paint's still wet. Plenty wet. Look at my finger. Oh, now, don't start crying again. A woman crying, it makes me feel awful.
I'm sorry.
Look, whether you dreamed it or imagined it...
I didn't. Yeah. I didn't.
Oh, yeah, well...
I know I've had spells.
Spells? What kind of spells?
Oh, I've always been high-strung, nervous, you know?
Well, I don't know if I know. I mean, me, well, I'm the other way. I haven't got a nerve in my whole body.
I envy you. You've never been to a psychiatrist.
A shrink? No, me. You ask me, anybody who goes to a shrink ought to have his head examined. That's a joke. You get it?
Yes.
Well, then laugh a little bit. Come on, do you good.
I can't.
No, of course you can't. I'm sorry. I should have known better than to even try and make a joke. You go to a psychiatrist, huh?
Yes. Not regularly. Sometimes.
What times?
Oh, when I sort of get all keyed up and start having crying spells and feeling so sad. So sad I could die.
Well, what's to feel sad about? A pretty girl like you with everything in life to live for. What's to be sad?
I don't know. Some people feel sad for no reason at all. They just suffer from depressions. Oh, excuse me?
Oh, yes, ma'am?
Jennifer, Dr. Sullivan is on his way over. I just phoned him. All right. And, officer, thank you very much for trying to help.
Oh, not at all, ma'am. Not at all. Glad to do what I could.
I'll show you out.
Oh, that's okay.
No. It's all right, I'll come with you. I'll be just a minute, Jen. Officer, I wanted to ask you. You don't have to say anything about this, do you? I mean, put it in your report or anything?
Oh, no. There's been no damage or anything like that. She get this way often, your sister?
Well, often enough. She hallucinates, you see.
Huh? Come again?
Hallucinates? It means, well, just what you saw. She was totally convinced there was a murdered man up there. Her husband, no less. Well, you saw for yourself. Husband? Jennifer's never even had a boyfriend.
A cute doll? I mean, a pretty girl like that?
Well, it's all part of her condition. She's afraid of people, men especially. I wish she could become less afraid, more outgoing. If these spells of hers get any worse, she may lose her mind altogether.
Oh, say, I hope not. A sweet kid like that, I sure hope not.
I know, so do I. Well, looks like we've had a little shower. Street's wet.
It was drizzling a little when I came in. Well, good night, ma'am, and if you need...
Wait! The car! The car!
What car?
Howard's. The little red sports car he was so fond of. It isn't there. But it was. I know it was.
Officer, thanks again, and good night.
Good night, ladies.
Jen, dear, until Dr. Sullivan gets here, I think you should lie down and rest. Hmm?
I don't want to lie down.
Well, then just stretch out on the couch, and I'll make some tea for us. Well, that's probably Dr. Sullivan now. Oh. Yes?
Excuse me, ma'am. I just wanted to get something straight.
Yes.
Your sister, did she say... Oh, ma'am.
Yes, officer.
Did you say that car was a little sports car?
Yes. Why?
Well, nothing, only there was one parked out there in the street.
What do you mean?
Well, we've had a shower, see, and I happen to notice the street's dry in one spot. There must have been a car standing there while it was raining. A small car.
Officer, please don't make things worse for me or for my sister. I mean, there's nothing unusual about a car being parked in the street.
No, only...
Good night, officer.
Funny, though. Funny.
What exactly is it that strikes Officer Helmut as funny? Perhaps we'll know when I return shortly with Act Two.
You've seen the Budweiser commercials on television, and maybe you've wondered how long people have been putting that famous Bud label on things. Well, not as long as the brewers of Bud have been putting things on the label. Things like a list of Bud's most important ingredients. Quote, brewed by our original process from the choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. And things like the following statement. This is the famous Budweiser beer. We know of no brand produced by any other brewer which costs so much to brew and age. Our exclusive Beechwood aging produces a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Unquote. Yes, brewing beer right does make a difference. Read the Bud label. Taste the king of beers, and you'll agree, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Basically, when we started the street corner scouting program, what I did was I came into the communities that had, you know, very little scouting at all.
Hey, Tiny, come here.
What I had to do was I had to come out here every day during the week, including Saturdays and Sundays, and go out on these same alleys with them and play the same kind of games they play, and just have a regular scouting program with them.
Did you know there's such a thing as street corner scouting? That it's bringing scouting to millions of boys who never even heard the word scouting? Did you also know that for every boy in scouting today, in our suburbs as well as in our cities, there's another boy who'd like to be but can't, and that the reason most of them can't is because no adult in the neighborhood thinks scouting's worth the time?
Basically, you gotta go to where they are. If they're in the ballpark or behind the house or in the barn, you gotta go to them.
If you don't think scouting's worth your time, you don't know enough about scouting. Find out more, write Scouting, North Brunswick, New Jersey, 08902.
Has a horrible murder been done? Or is Jennifer Brader losing her mind? Did she find the body of her husband, Howard Lansing, seated in the living room with a knife in his chest? Or did she imagine the frightful scene? Is she married? Was there a honeymoon? Oh, here's young patrolman Ed Helmut at the front door of the brownstone house where Jennifer and her sister Maggie live. And it's the following morning.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah.
Well, won't you come in?
Thanks.
Thank you for, what you did last night.
Oh, just doing my job, Miss, Mrs., I don't know what to call you.
I don't know what to call myself. I don't know if I'm Mrs. Howard Lansing or Miss Jennifer Brady. Not after last night.
Well, suppose I just call you Jennifer. You can call me Ed. Ed Helmut.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm off duty, see. I'm on the 4 to midnight beat, and I just thought I'd drop around and see how you were doing.
Oh, well, I'm all right.
You mind if I ask you a couple of questions, Jennifer?
No. It's your job, isn't it?
Well, yes and no, yes and no. The fact being off duty now, I'm kind of asking these questions on my own. You know what I mean?
I don't. Not really.
Well, I tell you, that car of your husband's...
If I didn't just imagine a husband.
Yeah, well, if you didn't, that car of his, that little red sports car you mentioned, well, there was a car parked out front last night, and it was a little sports car.
If it wasn't there when you left...
Well, the space it left... It rained, remember, while the car was standing at the curb?
Oh, yes.
So at least you were right about there being a car. I mean, you didn't dream that up.
It could have been anyone's car, as Maggie said.
Oh, that's for sure. Still, though, it could have been a car belonging to a guy named Howard Lansing. Couldn't it?
Why are you doing this?
Come again?
Well, you know that I'm not well. That all my life I've had nervous problems, Oh, I can't believe it, but I must have dreamed it all up. Howard Lansing, marrying him, going on a honeymoon across country and back, coming home last night, finding him murdered. I must have imagined it all. Maggie says I did. Dr. Sullivan says I did. So why are you... Why are you...
You know something? I don't know. Maybe it's because,
Well, what?
I kind of like you, and, me, I didn't get much sleep either last night, thinking about this whole thing, thinking about you, and, I'm kind of wishing I could, straighten things out for you.
That's very sweet of you, officer. But...
Call me Ed.
Ed? It's sweet of you. But you're wasting your time. I'm mentally...
Oh, come on now, don't cry. You had a bad dream, that's all. A nightmare.
Oh, it was more than that, much more than that. When you dream something, you wake up and you know it was a dream. I'm still living it. I remember the ceremony, the hotels we stayed at, the things we did. Even Howard... Constantly fussing with his new car.
Yeah, there's that car again. What do you mean, fussing with it?
Oh, just that he was always polishing it, checking this and that. You know, fussing, that's all.
And you remember all about the ceremony and the hotels and like that?
It's all as vivid as if it had actually happened.
Tell me about the wedding. Who married you?
Nobody married me, Ed. I imagined...
Okay. So where did you imagine you got married?
A little town in Jersey. By a justice of the peace.
What little town? What J.P.?
I don't know. It was night and we just pulled off the Garden State Parkway. Howard had said he knew a place, a justice of the peace.
Okay. What about hotels?
Well... I remember we stayed at the Ambassador in Chicago and the Statler in St. Louis, the Beverly in Los Angeles, and... Oh, that you, Maggie?
Yes, Jen.
Well, any calls? Well, I... Oh.
Hello, Miss Brady.
Aren't you the policeman who was here last night?
Yeah, that's right. You're wondering what I'm doing here now, huh?
Well, yes, I am.
I just dropped in to see how Jen was doing, that's all.
Jen?
Miss Brady. I was never much for being formal.
Yes, obviously. Have you been here long?
No, 10 minutes or so.
Well, I don't mean to hurry you, officer, but Jennifer and I have an appointment in 1 hour with her psychiatrist, Dr. Sullivan.
Say, would that be Dr. Martin Sullivan on Park Avenue?
No, Dr. Arnold Sullivan on East 82nd.
Oh.
You seem terribly interested in Jennifer's psychiatrist.
Me? Oh, no. I just ask a lot of questions. I trained myself.
You trained yourself?
You're going to laugh. I know you're going to laugh, but would you believe I want to be a detective someday?
Well, of course I believe it. Why shouldn't I?
Ask my sergeant. He thinks I'm something else wanting to be a detective. Laughs himself silly.
Well, I certainly wouldn't laugh. I think it's commendable.
You think I could make a detective?
Of course you could.
Well, say, that's a real shot in the arm. I mean, someone like you thinking that someone like me, just a cop and new on the force at that.
As I said, officer, I don't like to hurry you, but
I'm going, Miss Brady. Going right now. Nice seeing you again, Jen.
I'll show you out.
Oh, that's okay. Some detective I'd make if I couldn't find the front door.
Jennifer, would you answer that, please?
Of course. Oh, my God.
Jennifer, what is it?
Help me. Oh, my God, Maggie. Ed, help me.
What?
He's there. At the front door, he's there. Howard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is something... What's all the trouble?
You were dead. Murdered.
What?
Last night, after we got home from our honeymoon, I found you in your chair stabbed to death.
Last night, honey? Stabbed? Maggie, what is this?
Jen's having another one of her spells, Howard, that's all.
Oh, I see.
What do you mean, you see? You see what?
Well, just...
Excuse me, who are you?
My name is Ed Helmut, Officer Ed Helmut. I'm a cop.
A cop?
Howard, I'll explain later what went on here last night.
I don't understand this. I don't understand it. You're talking to Howard as if nothing had happened.
Jennifer, nothing did.
He exists. He's standing right here. He exists. And last night you acted as if you'd never heard of him. As if there was no such person as Howard Lansing.
Honey, I don't remember.
You did.
Jennifer, stop it. Now, stop it. Control yourself. Officer, you were leaving.
There's some questions. I'd better get the answers to
Officer,
first.
Officer, this is a private matter. It's a family affair.
Well, now, that depends on how you look at it. Are you Howard Lansing?
Of course I'm Howard Lansing. Why do you ask such a question?
Howard, Jen had one of her mental lapses last night. She imagined that you and she were married.
We were.
And that you had just come back from your honeymoon.
Oh, good Lord.
And then during this hallucination, she thought she had found you with a knife in your chest, dead.
Oh, no, poor little Jenny.
She ran screaming into the street. Luckily, I got her back into the house before she caused a disturbance, although this officer did hear the screams and came to investigate.
Well, did you call Dr. Sullivan?
Well, of course I did. He came over, but there wasn't much he could do except order some new sleeping pills. We're seeing him in his office at 11 this morning.
Just one more question, Mr. Lansing.
Yes?
Just where do you fit in here? I mean, who are you to the family, I mean?
I'm Miss Brady's fiancé, Margaret, not Jennifer.
Oh, I see.
No, I'm afraid you don't see, not all of it. Look, since we've gone this far, you might as well know the rest of it. Jennifer has always had a thing for Howard. She's not jealous that he's going to marry me and not her. Don't think that, but the whole situation has been a severe strain on her, a very severe strain.
Almost certainly that's why her hallucination last night took the form that it did. Thinking she'd been married to me and all the rest of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'll be on my way. Hey, now, you take it easy, huh? And me, if it's okay with you, I'm gonna be in touch. I'll see my way out. Hey, Mr. Lansing. You have got a little red sports car.
Well, yes, that's it. Parked at the curb. Why?
Well, Jen, Miss Brady, she seemed to make a big thing out of it. On the honeymoon that didn't happen, I mean.
Big thing?
Well, what I mean, she said you were always fussing with it, polishing it and like that. Sure looks as if you do.
Well, I do. I'm a sports car buff, if you want to know.
I wish I could own a car like that, but on a cop salary, You had it long?
2 or 3 months.
Oh. How many miles you put on?
You ask a lot of questions.
Just interested, that's all.
Close to 10,000, I think.
Well, that's a lot of miles in 3 months.
I do a lot of driving.
Your business, huh?
No, I don't work. Don't have to. Just like to drive. Short trips, but they add up.
Oh, boy. If I had a car like that, I'd go for long trips, like cross country.
Well, maybe someday I will, but so far, I haven't had the interest.
Yeah. Well, see ya.
Fine. Where is she?
Upstairs, changing for appointment with Sullivan.
I don't like this, Maggie.
You don't like it. You don't like it. All the stupid things walking in here when that cop was here.
I know he was here. If it comes to that, why did you let her run screaming into the street last night?
Howard, come to your senses. Was there any other way?
No, I guess there wasn't.
I'm afraid we're going to have to move faster than we planned.
Why?
That young cop's pretty nosy. Come over here to the window.
What?
Look down there.
What the hell is he doing?
He's measuring the size of your car from front to back wheels.
What's he doing that for?
I don't know. He's doing it. I don't like it. No, Howard, we won't commit Jennifer now.
Well, if we don't commit her, what will we do with her?
Kill her.
Clearly, Maggie and Howard faked his murder. But how could they have managed it? And how will they kill Jennifer? We'll return shortly with Act 3.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K presents
Overweight on an overnight train.
Is the seat taken?
Please, sit down. You have exceptional legs. But why is one of them attached to a ball and chain?
This ball and chain? It's a symbol.
Funny, I would have sworn it was a ball and chain.
I mean symbolic. Because carrying around a few extra pounds can be just like lugging around this ball and chain.
I see. May I suggest something?
Uh-huh.
Try a bowl of Special K skim milk, orange juice, and coffee. It's the Special K breakfast.
Will it make me lose weight?
No.
Oh.
You must also exercise and eat smart at every meal.
I see.
Do you know the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious?
No, but if you hum a few bars...
And that's another tale of the ball and chain.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K. Good night.
You know, you hack it through life, and you struggle to get a lot of things. But the one thing you really want is for someone to say, hey, you did a good job, or to really care how you feel, maybe even look up to you. Ain't it funny? Those little things. And so you fake it a lot. And you pretend you're a winner. You pretend you're something special and that you're worth loving. But it don't work. And that everyday kind of love, it didn't happen. So I just got tired of faking it, trying to be somebody else. And I can remember saying, look, I'm sorry, but I don't know everything. And I can't do everything. And I make mistakes. And you know what? That's when they started to say they love me. Ain't that funny?
From the Franciscans, with love.
Were you as shocked as I to discover that Howard Lansing is very much alive? I can't fathom it. Can you? No more than, 10 minutes could have passed between the time Jennifer saw him slumped in that chair with a knife in his chest, blood all over everything, and the time Officer Helmut entered the room to find no body, no blood, nothing to indicate that a murder had taken place. It would have been impossible for Howard Lansing and Margaret Brady to restore perfect order to that room in so short a time, even to Howard's clothes and luggage no longer in the closet. A bone-dry bathtub, and the rest of it got me puzzled. Well, we'll soon have the answer as we rejoin Maggie and Howard.
Kill her.
There's nothing else we can do.
Well, we can do what we planned originally. Commit her.
It won't work. Not now.
Why not?
Your answer is right out there in the street. The cop was just finished measuring your car.
Now, what's he doing?
Quite obviously getting into your car.
I think I better get out there and see what he's up to.
I was just about to suggest it, Howard.
Officer, what are you doing in my car?
Oh, say, Mr. Lansing. Say, I hope you don't mind. Like I told you, I want to own a little sports car like this myself someday. And, I just couldn't help sitting behind the wheel. Say, I hope you don't mind.
As a matter of fact, I do mind.
Oh. Well, say, please excuse me. I just kind of flip over a car like this, that's all.
Is that why you were measuring the wheelbase?
Measuring? Oh, that.
Yes, that. I saw you from the window.
Yeah, well, now, I tell you, I want to get to be a detective someday, see? And I'm studying, like, fingerprints and stains and like that, and measuring. Now, measuring things is important, very important. You'd be surprised how important measuring things is. So... I take every opportunity to measure things.
Ah, yes. Well...
Like last night. Were you here last night?
Oh, no, I was not here last night.
Funny.
What's funny?
Well, last night, Jennifer, Miss Brady, she said a car, in fact, your car, was parked outside here. Only it wasn't. I mean, when we looked, no car.
Well, I just told you that...
Yeah, but there had been a car. You see, it had rained, and the car was standing out here during the rain. And left a dry space in the street. And I measured that, too. Couldn't help myself. It's become a habit, you know?
Well, I fail to see what this has to do with
anything. Identical. Same wheelbase. that car, and this one.
Look, there are probably thousands of sports cars in New York.
I'm not saying it was the same car. Oh no, nothing like that. I'm only saying the wheelbase was the same.
It's very interesting, I'm sure, but if you don't mind now,
I... Just leaving when you came out. I apologize if I upset you getting in behind the wheel without permission.
That's all right.
Yeah. Well, goodbye. Oh, by the way...
Now what?
You got 11,243.9 miles on the speedometer. 1,000 or so more than you said you had. I just thought you'd like to know.
Thank you. I'm deeply grateful for that information. He is up to something, Maggie.
What else is new?
He checked the mileage on the car.
What of it?
Over 11,000 miles. I could easily have driven from here to L.A. and back, which I did.
Mileage shows only how far a car went, not where. I'm not worried about your car. I'm worried about him nosing around. The quicker we kill Jennifer, the better.
Now look, I didn't bargain for anything like murder.
Neither did I, but that's the way it is.
How will you do it?
How will we do it? Sleeping pills. An overdose, that's the simplest.
When?
Well, tonight. Why wait? Oh, Jennifer. Ready for our appointment with Dr. Sullivan, I see. Hmm? Yes, I'll just get my coat. Howard?
Yes, Jennifer.
I'm sorry if I've caused you any trouble.
Oh, no.
I'm losing my mind, Howard. I must be. Marrying you, our honeymoon trip across the country, returning last night, finding you dead. It was all so real. So real. And yet it wasn't. It never happened. Howard, I just can't go on like this much longer.
You won't, Jennifer. Believe me, you won't.
You sure of that? Did you check all marriage license applications? And there's no Howard Lansing and Jennifer Brady, huh?
Scorpio at Beverly Hotel, Los Angeles.
Right there. Okay, sorry I troubled you. Thanks. Hello? Yeah. Yeah, how far back did you check your guest register? And there's no Mr. and Mrs. Howard Lansing.
Hey, Ed, another one. The ambassador of Chicago. You going on a trip or something, man?
Thanks. Officer Ed Helmut here. Yeah, I think I can tell you what you're going to tell me before you tell me. No record of a Mr. and Mrs. Howard Lansing. Yeah. Well, thanks. There's got to be a clue. There's got to be...
How many pills did you give her?
Enough. What's the matter, Howard? Why that look on your face?
I'm a murderer. I'm just beginning to realize it. I am a murderer.
Not yet, Howard. She won't be dead for a while.
How can you be so calm? You frighten me, Maggie. I've never seen this side of you before.
You've got to be kidding. All the time we spent planning this...
To commit her, not murder her.
What's the difference? Not doing all this for peanuts, you know. We inherited $1.5 million from my father, Jennifer, and I. You and I will have all of it once she... Who could that be?
I'll see.
Wait. No, I guess we can't pretend no one's at home. The lights are all on.
And my car's parked out front. Oh, it's you.
Okay, if I come in, Mr. Lansing?
Oh, well, now,
Thanks. Rotten night out there. Just plain rotten.
It's Officer Helmut, Maggie.
Yes, so I see. Getting to be a regular visitor, aren't you?
To be honest with you, Miss Brady, it's a real nasty night, and walking a beat, I didn't think you'd mind if I came in for a few minutes. Also, I wanted to see how Jen's getting along.
Jen is getting along very well, if it's any concern of yours, which it is not.
Oh, well, I only...
Officer Helmut, circumstances beyond my control brought you into this house last night, but I do control whether you'll keep coming here like this. Please leave.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute, Miss Brady. I like your sister, and I have reason to think she likes me. Now, wait a second. Just wait a second. I also think she needs somebody like me, somebody to lean on, to protect her.
Further
than that, I'm here on official business.
Official business?
I'm placing you both under arrest on a charge of... Where is Jen?
That's no business of yours. What's all this about?
Where is she?
She is upstairs asleep, if you must know.
Asleep? At 8 o'clock at night?
She took a couple of sleeping pills.
Where are you going? How dare you go up there?
Maggie, my God.
Any nerve, don't lose it now.
But he'll know.
He'll know she took an overdose. That's all he will know.
He will know that we gave it to her. He's arresting us.
For what? On what charge? Whatever it is, he'll never make it stick. We've covered our tracks too well for the law to... He's carrying her down.
It's all right, baby. It's gonna be all right. Operator, this is Officer Ed Helmet. I want an ambulance sent to 127 Brockhurst, and fast.
An ambulance? Why an ambulance?
An overdose of sleeping pills.
She took a...
She didn't take them, Buster. They were given to her, shoved down her throat, you ask me. I'm changing the charge against you two. I'm booking you for attempted murder.
You must be out of your mind. You're as crazy as my sister.
Who isn't crazy at all. That was a real far-out scene you two tried to pull. I gotta hand it to you two. You planned it so careful, so good. There wasn't a loophole in it. Except one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't, huh? Then let me explain. You set the whole thing up, the two of you. The marriage, the honeymoon trip across country and back, the fake murder and the whole bit. Oh, and you played it smart. Very smart. Not a clue. I checked the Marriage License Bureau. No license. Easy enough. You could have bribed a clerk to destroy it.
Now, look, you...
I checked a few hotels. The big ones like the Ambassador, the Beverly in Los Angeles. No Mr. and Mrs. Howard Lansing listed. A piece of cake. When you registered, you gave a different name.
You're making yourself look like a fool. What you're saying is you could find no evidence.
Oh, but I did. One little clue that neither of you thought about. The car, Mr. Lansing. Your pretty little red sports car.
I don't follow.
You will. I told you I found that dry space out on the street last night because a car, a little sports car like yours, had been standing there during the rain.
Well, it could have been anyone's car.
Sure. Same size as yours. Same wheelbase. But I agree, it could have been anyone's. Only it wasn't. It was yours. You want to know how I know?
We'd be enthralled.
I know, because last night, that car wasn't parked outside this house, but the one next door. I got to wondering about that. I kept saying to myself, if it was his car, why did he park outside the house next door? I came up with the answer today when I entered that house. Nobody there. And found fake blood all over the upstairs room. A gag knife. The kind you attach so it looks like you're stabbed. Even your clothes and your luggage in the closet. Mr. Lansing.
Oh, God.
So you see, if it hadn't been for your car, I'd never have realized that brownstone houses in a row like these are identical. You bought this place, or leased it while Jen and him were on their honeymoon, didn't you, Miss Brady? Last night, when Jen went screaming into the street, you deliberately let her run into the street so you could bring her back to the house next door. This house. And her stayed, wound up tight like she was. She never realized what you were doing, as you knew she wouldn't.
You'll have to prove these accusations.
I will. I can't. With the one little clue that nails it all down at all four corners. The little red sports car again.
What about it?
Well, you told me you'd never driven across country.
I never have. If you're thinking of the mileage on the car, that proves nothing.
Well, not the mileage, Mr. Lansing. The servicing.
Servicing?
You had it serviced at the Beverly Hotel in Los Angeles. A lube job, oil change, new filter, the works. And like they do at all service stations, they slapped a little sticker on the door jamb. That little sticker that carries the name and address of the service station. That little sticker that practically nobody ever notices. Anyhow, you didn't. And it says, Beverly Hotel Service Station, Los Angeles, California. Date and all. Easy, Jen. Easy. You're gonna be okay. From here on in, you're gonna be just fine.
My.
must have been a costly business, buying or leasing that identical brownstone house and furnishing it exactly like the one next door. But then, Maggie had all the money in the world, or thought she did. I'll return shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I saw this perfectly darling mirror in the showroom, so I bought it. But when the truck came, they delivered this thing I never saw before. Now what am I going to do?
I'll tell you what to do, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, the first thing to do is to call the store manager and tell him what happened. But in the future, when your merchandise is delivered, you should examine the item before the delivery truck leaves. And if it's to be delivered from a warehouse, have a clear understanding with the dealer that unless it is the same as the sample shown to you, you will not accept it or pay for it.
Oh, thank you.
Just part of my job, madam, to help people with their shopping problems.
Like a spider's web, so strong and yet so weak, the human brain can be broken. But happily, again, like the spider's web, it can be repaired as good as new. Our cast included Lois Nettleton, Tony Roberts, Terry Keane, and Norman Rose. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
I'll give you $300 cash tomorrow afternoon. How does that sound?
Now listen to me, Mr. Bailey. People are real funny about this kind of business. They never believe a guy like me can, well, like be honest, you know?
Honest? That's some word.
Well, what I mean is they always think that if they pay me a flat fee, I'll be coming back at them again. You see what I mean? Even if I did give you the negatives, you'd figure I had copies someplace that I could hit you again anytime, right?
Look, I'm willing to take your word for it.
Nah, Mr. Bailey, nah. You just spend the rest of your life worrying about me coming back, am I right? But this way, you just make one small payment to me every month, like you pay the electric bill or the rent, you know?
How much? How much do I have to pay?
I figure if about, $40 a month.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Be sure to listen to Mystery Theater again tomorrow night, same time, same station.
Station KIXI, dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
The time, 12 midnight.
CBS News. The energy crisis has produced a new confrontation between the White House and Congress. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The House gave final approval Wednesday to the emergency energy bill and sent it to President Nixon's desk. The president will probably veto it because of his objection to one key provision, a rollback of oil prices. The president fears a rollback would discourage production and dry up petroleum supplies. Senator Henry Jackson of Washington says he's confident the Senate would override if President Nixon does veto the bill. It's now estimated as many as 15,000 coal miners in West Virginia have walked off their jobs. The miners are angry because they're having trouble getting gasoline to get to and from work. Industry officials say production of coal has declined by about 175,000 tons a day in the shutdown in 8 West Virginia counties. More news after this.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. Give your cold. Contact, the sooner the better.
Hey, okay, I'm back. How's that cold?
Rotten. Get the Contact?
Oh, I got everything. Contact, cold tablets, and this liquid.
Oh, no.
Honey, it's all cold medicine.
Well, sure, but it only takes one contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief from sneezing, drips, congestion. For that, I'd need 6 of your cold tablets.
2 every 4 hours.
Or 3 ounces of nighttime liquid.
1 every 4 hours.
Or just one contact. The tiny dye pills do it.
Well, it's all cold medicine.
Those others contain antipyretic analgesics, the liquid antitussive and alcohol. They're not in contact.
6 or 3 or 1. I choose the one contact.
Me too. And I'm the one with the cold.
Give your cold a contact, the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. When you catch a cold, take contact. Only as directed.
Major new indictments are expected to be issued Thursday or Friday in the Watergate case. Former top aides of President Nixon may be among those indicted. Lawyers for John Ehrlichman and H.R. Haldeman say both men may be charged with federal crimes. In New York on Thursday, the job of picking a jury may be completed for the trial of former Nixon cabinet officers John Mitchell and Marie Stans. More from Robert Shackney.
The judge so far has chosen a panel of 52 prospective jurors whom he's questioned and found qualified to serve. He's excused 43 others for cause. They'd already formed opinions, were biased, or for some other reason could not serve. The judge plans to screen and add several more qualified members to his final panel before the actual jury of 12 persons and 6 alternates is selected by lot. In that process, lawyers for both sides will be allowed to exercise 34 peremptory challenges, challenges without cause. The jury selection process in this highly publicized trial has moved far more rapidly than many court observers had thought possible, although defense attorneys are still expected to challenge the impartiality of the jury that is chosen on the grounds of excessive pretrial publicity about Mitchell, Stans, and the whole case. Robert Shackney, CBS News, New York.
Election Day has arrived in Britain, a national election triggered by that country's worst economic crisis since the Second World War. A report on the election from Bob Dyke in London.
2,134 applicants for 635 prized seats in Parliament. Of those 2,134 candidates, one will become Prime Minister. Will it be the incumbent, Prime Minister Heath, his chief rival, Mr. Wilson, or will the sun rise out of the west Friday morning and find Jeremy Thorpe moving into number 10? Election Day polls in 4 newspapers say Heath will win. He is still the odds-on favorite amongst the bookies. Now it's the voters' turn. There are 40 million of them in Britain, and one estimate says as many as 75 to 80% of them may go to the polls. For the candidates, this is the most trying time. What has been said, and cannot be unsaid. What has been done. The jury has retired to consider the verdict. Bob Dyke for CBS News, London.
In Washington Wednesday night, the National Education Association announced its terminated talks with the American Federation of Teachers on a possible merger. The NEA says the big stumbling block was the insistence of the Teachers Federation that the NEA join the AFL-CIO. Now this.
You're 17.
In your glove compartment for family circles, A Woman's Guide to Emergency Car Repairs, the special pull-out section in the current issue. It unravels in clear, simple terms the mysteries under the hood, tells you what makes the car go and what to do when it doesn't, can save you considerable cash in towing and minor repairs. The March Family Circle is now at the checkout counter of your supermarket. This is Jack Sterling inside Family Circle, the world's leading women's magazine.
In 1919, someone decided to help youth understand big business by starting them in small businesses of their own.
and Junior Achievement was born. 314 students made and sold products and learned the business of business. Today, nearly 200,000 junior achievers are designing and marketing their own products and services. Their small businesses help them understand how big business works. Support Junior Achievement, where youth learns the business of business.
There was some trouble in Canberra, Australia, as Queen Elizabeth opened the new session of the Australian Parliament. Just after that happened, a man believed to be an Aborigines reportedly held two government officials in their offices at gunpoint. Earlier, the Queen was greeted by several hundred Aborigines demonstrators at Parliament House. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. The weather outlook for the Puget Sound area, high wind warnings tonight and tomorrow. Winds increasing and becoming southerly, 25 to 40 miles per hour later tonight and tomorrow. Rain tonight, becoming showers by Thursday afternoon. Occasional showers Thursday night and Friday. Lows near 40 tonight and Thursday night in the upper 30s. Highs both days in the upper 40s. Presently 44 degrees and raining downtown, 43 at SeaTac. The wind is east-southeast, 6 miles per hour.
Music for People Who Care continues on KIXI.